She's down at Passaic this morning. I guess she didn't have any responsibilities here, and she's been praying for the group down there and the church. And so I think Mitch Newland is preaching there, and so she went to see, encourage him. So we're a couple people short, but we got Joel back. So it's good to see Joel again. Tom's here. Good to see you, brother. So I'm just trying to think the best way to start today. We mentioned earlier Brother Jason's got a birthday this week, so that's pretty cool. If you're like me, I don't really like my birthdays, but I guess it's better than being dead, you know. Just trying to look. I think it's this banner. I thought I had it open, so sorry about that. Yep, I just did. So I'm going to give everybody this handout today, but I want us to see. So this is kind of an overview. This is Brian Hedges and Pastor Greg Axe put this chart together. I know you've seen Jim's, but basically this is a good overview of the Book of Revelation. The first, I don't know if you can see these. The bookends to this book, you see this arrow here and this arrow here are kind of the, in Revelation 19 is when heaven, a door in heaven opens and the Lord returns with His armies. And in Revelation 4:1, there's a door opens in heaven, and that's when the Apostle John here has come up hither. And we think he is pictures the church, and we believe that's the rapture of the church. And so we're in Revelation 9, so we're kind of in the middle of these two, and we're studying these trumpets. And I just wanted to point out that trumpet 5, this bottomless pit, opens up. An angel is given a key to this bottomless pit, and there's a king to the bottomless pit named Apollyon or Abaddon. One's Greek, one's Hebrew. And I'm not totally sure. We think it's the angel that's given the key is probably the king, but one of the things that this is kind of wild to think about. You know, Judas Iscariot is called the son of perdition, like the son of damnation, like the offspring of the devil, right? And the Antichrist is also called that. And so after Judas had betrayed innocent blood, he says he went out and hung himself. And it says he went to his place, like there was a place for him. And it was probably in hell or could be in this bottomless pit. So when this smoke ascends and these demonic locusts come out, it could be that that's when the Antichrist is released, because this kind of shows this trumpet 5 happens right in the middle when this wicked one is revealed. So I kind of wanted to rehearse that just a little bit from last week. I think that's what I wanted to say about that. But we also discussed last week just the earth itself. And I wanted to give you, I gave you one picture last week. And this is kind of a, I don't know if I can make that bigger there. We said there's, you know, either, we really don't know a lot about the inside or the middle of the earth. But I wanted to draw this. So has anybody got Ephesians 4? We were going there. I want us to see this before. I think it's Kevin. It's 8-10. Ephesians 4:8-10.
Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, that's Philippians. What did I do? Wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it he that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things.
Now, that's pretty wild that it says that Christ, before he ascended, he also descended into the lower parts of the earth and led captivity captive. And so, people smarter than me have kind of thought more about this than I have, but if you picture, you know, the throne in heaven, and you know, people in the Old Testament, when they died, they couldn't really go into heaven because, you know, the blood of bulls and goats just made atonement. They covered their sin, but they didn't forgive it or take it away. So there's a place called this whole, you know, when Christ died and rose again, it said to him were given the keys of death and hell. He got the keys of death and hell, and you know, the Bible says, you know, that Christ said he'll build his church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against. So hell has gates, and Proverbs talks about having chamber. We're going to talk about hell a little bit this morning. But, you know, the first part of Revelation 9 talked about this bottomless pit. And so I kind of wanted to give a little bit of context. Sometimes there's a place of rest called, and I've drawn this different ways, and if you think of it a different way, that's fine. And you probably remember, that's not right, is it? Is it dice like that with a C? I don't remember. Is it the S? I had it right to begin with.
So Abraham's bosom, Sheol, or
and if you remember when Christ was on the cross, there's our sister Alana. We signed a card for you. Did you get it?
I did. For what?
It was your get well card.
For what?
Your knee.
I still ain't had surgery.
Well, okay, get well anyway.
I was reading it, I'm like, what is this?
Well, I had to do it while I was thinking about it or I would forget.
Well, that's okay. They've been messing with me. They keep telling me now I have to do physical therapy for a little bit.
Oh. Well, that is discouraging. But if you remember, I'm trying to think I think it's in Luke where you remember that one of the thieves on the cross was repentant, and you know, he said, you know, this man has done nothing wrong, and he said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And what did Jesus tell that guy? Today thou shalt be with, like today. So there's an area in the earth, because people, Christ hadn't risen again and put his blood on the mercy seat as the high priest. But so people went to Abraham's bosom or paradise. And if you remember the story of the rich man and Lazarus, the rich man went to hell, and Lazarus was in Abraham's bosom, and he was in a place of comfort, the rich man was in a place of torment. And so I'm not taking you to all those passages, but I'm just kind of, because we all kind of know some of these stories. And also Matthew, I think it's 12:40, he says, you know, just like Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, so the Son of Man shall be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And so I drew a little heart there, kind of the center of the earth. I mean, we talk about us having a heart, and in a way it's at the center of who we are. And so if we think about the place of torment being hell, and so somewhere in the earth is this bottomless pit. And I think I'll just put the word pit, it would be a little easier to... And we said, you know, at the center of the earth, there would be a sense of weightlessness because you're at the center of gravity. And so there's, the Bible talks about there being sides to the pit, but there's really... And I think one of your blanks on the front of your handout is the word abyss. And that word comes from the word, I think the word bis has to do with depth. And the A means like there's no depth, like there's no bottom. So it's like a bottomless pit. You've all heard of the abyss. And that comes from the Greek word for bottomless pit. And so we speculated that could be that the smoke coming out of the earth might come from a volcano. So you can almost picture, you know, a volcano that's erupting, and there's smoke going up, and it, you know, it's going throughout the earth probably, and with it come these locusts, and we predicted that they're coming out of this pit. With the smoke, it says. And so I think your first blank I had, you put the word heart. He's in the heart of the earth. And so this first part of our lesson today was just studying about hell and reviewing this thing about the bottomless pit. And I've got under letter A just the preparations of hell. It says hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. Did everybody get a handout? And there's really two compartments in hell, and it's divided by this bottomless pit. So there's a... Sorry, Jim, we missed you, didn't we, brother? So there's this death and hell. So Old Testament people would die, and they couldn't go to heaven yet because Christ hadn't shed his blood. But they didn't go to a place of torment either. They went to a place of rest. And you might remember a lot of times, I bet at least a half a dozen times, maybe more in the Old Testament, it's where when people die, they were gathered to their people. So that God's people were gathered together. So they were here captive. So what Kevin read is Christ descended into the lower parts of the earth and led captivity captive. So they come out of this this place of comfort, this place of paradise, and they went to heaven. And so like Adam and Eve would be there, and you know, all the redeemed of the Old Testament would be and you know what's weird, I think the word paradise is in the Bible three times, at least twice, and once it's here, Christ, but when Christ took captivity captive, you know, when Paul in 2 I think it's 2 Corinthians 12, where he was caught up into the third heaven, into paradise. Paradise is in heaven now. We think, you know, when Christ arose, he took captivity, so the paradise would be God's people going to heaven. And so think about this. Right now, this place of Abraham's bosom is basically empty right now. So now, you know, we know in the New Testament, whenever a Christian dies, he says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So this place is empty today, but hell, we think, is getting full. fuller and fuller. So anyway, it helps. Whenever I heard this teaching, it kind of resonates with me like it's a real place. And so I gave you these properties of hell. It's a place of darkness. Mark describes it as having unquenchable fire. Job even talks about under the earth as it were fire. There's no water there. You know, the rich man wanted Lazarus to dip his finger in water and touch it to his lips. He was so parched. It's seems to be eternal. And Isaiah speaks about stones of fire. We think that could we know molten lava is in the earth, so could be representative of those stones. It's spoke about like I think prisons are designed after there's the Bible talks about bars of hell. There's people chained there, at least. Those in the bottomless pit are chained and reserved into judgment. Jesus got the keys. There's keys to death and hell. There's gates. And Proverbs even talk about chambers. So, you know, you hear guys say, I want to go to hell and party with my friends. But there's kind of individual chambers. It's not a party, and it's dark, and it's hot, and you're probably not going to be with anybody that likes you.
Dante's Peak or whatever, Seven Layers of Hell.
That movie?
Yeah. Is there any truth in that or whatever?
Yeah, I kind of forget the movie, but Dante's Peak. I should watch that again. Yeah. I remember it being kind of a thriller.
At least once they get there, and when the resurrection goes,
that
they have a chance to come out.
No, and that is a good question. Tracy's asking just about if people will have a chance to maybe repent later. And, you know, Hebrews 9 says it as it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. So they'll certainly bow before the Lord. But they won't really have a second chance to repent, or else everybody would. You know, it's really in this life that people are given that opportunity. Or, you know, in the tribulation, people that maybe are not saved today may have a chance in the tribulation. So
it says absent with the body, present with the Lord, you know. But also it says that the time of judgment, like everybody's going to be there at the same time, right? At the judgment seat. Or are you going to get as soon as you die?
I don't know if this shows it. I know
judgment seat of Christ.
Yeah. So there's the judgment seat of Christ. So at the rapture of the church is also the resurrection. So the dead in Christ shall rise first. So that's when I think that your soul will be reunited with your body. That's when we get our new bodies. And that's when everybody stands before the Lord for judgment. So you'll be with Him when you die, but you won't start really the judgment till here probably.
Yeah, I was going to mention there are seven judgments. You know that.
Yeah.
If you don't know that, you too, sometimes.
And as a believer, we partake in three of those. This is the third one up here, the judgment seat of Christ. So the great white throne that maybe Kevin's referring to is not us.
No.
Yeah, and Tracy, if you can see over here, this is when people are brought out of hell for this great white throne judgment. And that may be what you're thinking of, and that's really not their opportunity to be saved, but that's before they're cast into the lake of fire. But let's talk about that when we get to Revelation 21 and 22. my train of thought just got derailed. So let's go back here. Letter E, the peoples of hell are the wicked are there. Ezekiel talks about the uncircumcised in the nether parts of the earth. That they're people whose names are not in the book of life. There's some kind of creatures and beasts and fowls and birds. And then Lucifer is cast down to hell in Isaiah when he fell and became a Satan. So that's kind of my study on hell that I wanted to give today. Now, specifically, I'm going to show you a video now, and it references these. It talks the king of the bottomless pit opens up this pit, and these locusts come out, you know, with the heads as horses and the sting of the scorpions and the breastplate of iron and all these descriptions. But we believe that those are the fallen angels that fell and cohabitated with the daughters of men in the days of Noah. So think about this with the... Right. So however many million or billion angels there were in heaven, you know, all the sons of God, a third of them fell. And we don't know what that number is, but of that third, part of them cohabitated with the daughters of men, and their offspring were giants in the days of Noah. And so this is a 3-minute video that talks about those few angels that were chained. And this is not real biblical, but there's a part, he does talk about the days of Noah, and so I think it's profitable. You know, I don't agree with all of it, but I wanted, because I think it does maybe help explain a few things. So hopefully we can all see and hear this. Yeah, I'll just play it here.
Well, how we learn metallurgy and everything else.
If you want undeniable evidence of the fallen angels, you don't need to look far. Just study anything labeled, well, ancient alien theory. The temples, the giants, the sky gods who descended and gave man forbidden knowledge. Mainstream media calls it myth. Ancient astronaut theorists call it alien. But the truth is far older and far more dangerous. This is not science fiction. This is the echo of a war in heaven. Long before the rise of Babylon or Egypt, before the flood wiped the slate of the earth, there were watchers. Angels assigned to guide humanity, guard creation, and report back to the Most High, but they fell. Drawn by lust and pride, 200 of them descended to Mount Hermon. They made a pact. They would take human wives. They would create their own kingdom. From their unions came the Nephilim, giants of unspeakable power. They enslaved mankind, devoured creation, and ruled as gods. But they gave more than tyranny. They handed man the keys to corruption. They taught us enchantment and sorcery, war and weaponry, astronomy twisted into astrology, beautification for seduction, abortions and root cutting, the secrets of heaven sold to man for vanity and blood. What modern scholars call, you know, technological leaps in ancient civilizations, what conspiracy theorists might call alien upgrades, was in truth the kingdom of the fallen. They built empires of stone, cities aligned with the stars and altars soaked in blood, the pyramids, the ziggurats, the megaliths too precise for Bronze Age hands. They ruled and God intervened. The flood was not just about wicked humanity, it was about the abominations that walked among us. The giants, the watchers, the dark knowledge. God chained the leaders of the rebellion in the abyss. The Nephilim bodies drowned, but their spirits remained, disembodied, wandering, what we now call demons. But here's the part they don't tell you. Their kingdom never truly ended. Christ warned us, as it was in the days of Noah, so it shall be at the coming of the Son of Man. And look around. We are reviving the sins of the watchers. They still whisper to us as we edit genes, as we worship the stars. We manipulate creation itself in the name of progress. The same spirits whisper again, sometimes from altars, but also from labs, screens and pulpits. The evidence is overwhelming if you're willing to see it. Ancient alien theory is not nonsense. It's misdirection. It points to real beings, real events, but gives them a new name so you'll never trace them back to the truth. The fallen angels are not gone. Their legacy is in your textbooks. Their ruins are under your feet. Their message echoes through your media. But so does the warning. You are not just living in history. You are walking in prophecy. Their kingdom is rising again. But so is the kingdom of God. And only one will remain.
There, that's it. That was very interesting, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So he does say that, I mean, I think that number 200 comes from the book of Enoch. So we wouldn't... Yeah, you sent me that. I started listening to it. He has it on auto. I need to get back and... But that's where that number 200 comes from. But I think it's much more than that. But anyway, it does mention that they were the days of Noah, the daughters of men. They were chained in darkness. So some of that was very insightful. And so I thought that really fit well with our lesson really last week. And kind of as a review for this week. And my teaching point here is that Jesus gives the key to the bottomless pit to this fallen star so he could release these supernatural locusts. I had you put the word locust in your blank. From which the Antichrist is probably from. So that was something I didn't mention last week, that probably this is when the Antichrist does make his appearance. So this is probably right around the middle point of the tribulation period, around the 3.5 year mark. So now we'll get into the last half of Revelation 9. So let's go to Revelation 9. I think I put hard is in the first one.
Oh, okay.
And then the abyss. And then locust. So heart and then abyss down here. Sorry about that, Chuck.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Do you think if there is 200 fallen angels and they're giving us all the knowledge and stuff, that these locusts could be their AI version of their army? They're like drones and such?
You know, that is a...
sounds to me like a lot like a drone. Make millions and millions of those, but they're AI. And if AI is somehow part of the Antichrist, that knowledge and that...
I do think that plays into these end times, don't you?
Yeah.
The AI, I mean...
COVID-19 meaning certificate of ID.
Chuck, seeing you made me think. A bunch of us went bowling yesterday. I got you up there, bro.
Cool.
That was right before you came, Julie. And Tracy, we missed you. Somehow you and Steven were gone. But anyway, Dana wanted a picture. But
I would too.
Yeah, I'll send you that. But TJ, I think you're right, brother. That's and you I was gonna see if maybe Jim and you could share a time where you talk about kind of prophecy and how some of these things could tie in. I mean, I know when I was first saved, they were talking about, you know, getting a chip in your hand and mark of the beast and the one world government and cash. And I think it was one of the Bushes that's talked about a new world order and
Great Reset.
So yeah, what are you thinking, Tom?
On Midtown's their podcast called Both Groups. Sam Miles and I think the host of Both Groups, they talk about how from and you know.
mentioned AI or just a drone. Is that what you said, drone?
Yeah.
Okay.
So just go to their postscript. Nerd episode where they talk about
that. Yeah, I've watched a lot.
You mentioned specific areas in the Bible where it talks about these objects that will move up and down, forward and backwards without ever like moving their head or something like that.
Yeah. Kind of the wheels within the wheel in Ezekiel, and they go straight to and fro, and yeah. Well, thanks, Tom. But yeah, it some of this just really resonates, you know, with truth that as and there's a little phrase called. Progressive revelation. I think as you get closer to the end and things kind of start coming together, I mean, these are things that, you know, they speculated about in the 80s, and I was saved in 92, and but I remember even before I was saved here, and you know, the majority leader, Farrell, Falwell, yeah. But, you know, there was guys like Jack Van Impe and a lot of these guys that were, you know, kind of prophecy guys. And they, you know, but a lot of what they've said have, you know, kind of come to fruition. And so I know Brian mentions more about it than I do. So hopefully at least this thing about hell and the center of the earth, I mean, I've got a lot more verses I could have put on here if anybody wants the kind of my complete study on hell. But hopefully, without chasing down all the verses, that it kind of resonates that you know, heaven is up and hell is down, and really the center of the earth is the place that's down for everybody on the earth. So let's go to Revelation 9, and we're going to talk about 12 through 21. And as destructive as those locusts were, this thing that we're talking about today seems equally or more destructive. So Revelation 9, 12, if somebody could read 12, 13, and 14. Okay.
One woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates.
Euphrates.
That's where they tie up animals, isn't that horns of like the mercy seat or the altar?
This horns of the altar, that's the brazen altar. What did we say this golden altar was? Or what did it represent? Remember? So you're close, Kevin. I think both of them, but yeah, on the brazen altar. Yes. That was the gold. It was the altar of incense. And what did we say incense represented?
Prayer.
Did you say prayer, Tracy or Julie?
No.
You're okay.
I'm thinking it, yeah.
Okay. It looked like you were getting ready to say something. So at the bottom of your first page, I put the word prayer. Just and so that's what happens here. This is the second woe that Tracy read. One woe is past, another one's coming. So this is the second woe. And these angels sounded. So this trumpet goes off. And under this golden altar
Armageddon.
Is this, it says, loose these four angels. And I want to talk about that as we end our time today, these four angels. But turn your page over, your handout. We'll be on the back side. We start talking about these four angels. These angels are bound. It indicates they were incarcerated due to rebellion. So they're maybe not these ones in the pit, but they are chained up and they're in the river Euphrates and they're loosed. And I'm going to speculate at the end who I think they are, but Brian says that they're a cheap imitation of the four beasts that are around the throne of God. They could also imitate the four angels on the four corners of the earth that we talked about in Revelation 7. And so these four angels will most likely go to the four corners of the earth to destroy and bring death. And so these angels are in the Euphrates River because that's always been the source of religious and political power. And Nimrod was based in this religion, a region we call, what do we call this region? Where the Euphrates is.
Mesopotamia?
It is Mesopotamia. There's another word. Babylon. Yeah, because that's a big topic here in the book of Revelation, is this topic of Babylon. And so just for a few minutes, I thought we would discuss Euphrates, because I think that's more of a key here than what we...
That thing that teaches you a language or whatever is called Babel.
Yes. Yeah, that's from the Tower of Babel. And it's funny, because... I think it was pronounced, I think in the Hebrew it's a little different, like Babel to Babel. And Babel or Babylon means confusion. So it was this Tower of Babylon, and God confused their languages. But just a few things about the Euphrates. First of all, what do you think the biggest river in the world is?
Nile.
It is the Nile. Who said that? Julie, good job. Anybody know the second and third?
Euphrates and Tigris.
I thought maybe it would be. I think the second is the Amazon.
No, yeah.
And I always thought the third was the Mississippi, but there's one in China that's like 80 miles further, so it's real close. They're like 3,000 miles.
You're not talking about width.
Yeah.
The Amazon's like the longest one.
Mississippi, I think, is the widest.
Maybe so.
There's that wise tale about the guy throwing a 50-cent piece across it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He must have been further upstream.
I think he skipped it.
TJ's right that this area between the Tigris and Euphrates is commonly called like the Fertile Crescent or Mesopotamia. And that's actually where we get like a hippopotamus, Mesopotamia, like potamus. That has to do with water, and the Mesa is like between the waters. So Mesopotamia means between the waters. And but I gave you kind of some stats there. I think Euphrates is like the 19th longest river, and the name Euphrates means fruitfulness. So I'll put that up here. I thought that was kind of interesting. Euphrates means fruitfulness. And it starts around the Armenian Mountains and it flows into the Persian Gulf. So if you remember the Persian Gulf War, that was down here. You remember Kuwait, and over here is the Mediterranean, and on the far side is the Persian Gulf. And so the Euphrates River formed the boundary to the Promised Land. There, a place there in Genesis, that was the border of the Promised Land. So Israel doesn't go near that far today. So in the millennium, they'll have more land. And then we'll talk more about this when we get there. But the Euphrates River will dry up in the tribulation period. And I'm hoping I can find a good video on that. I know there is some. But it's drying up now. Parts of it are you can walk across now, I think, Euphrates. Somebody read that from our handout, the Revelation 16:12 there, right above the teaching point.
And the sixth angel poured out this vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the king might be prepared.
Yeah, so right there it says that the river's going to be dried up. And I don't know if you can see, like here's the sixth trumpet. That's where we're at right now, that Tracy read is woe number two. And then I think what she just read was one of the vials.
Something about drying it up.
And it being dried up. So anyway, that's kind of the time frame we place this woe or this trumpet being blown. And the teaching point there is that evil began in this region from the fall of Adam and Eve. False religion began there. That's this place of Babylon. And it will also, I meant to say, be the place of power of Babylon will meet her end. So when we get to Revelation 17 and 18, it talks a lot about religious Babylon as well as economic Babylon. And so they both have a great fall right there. But back in Revelation 9, who can read for us? We read 12 through 14. Can somebody read 15 and 16 for us?
And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and day and a month and a year to slay the third part of man. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000, I heard in the number of them.
Yeah, so so these four angels were loosed in verse 15. And I'm going to speculate here in a minute who they are. They were prepared for an hour, a day, and a month, and a year. And even that's pretty specific, isn't it? Like, but they end up killing a third part of the men. And if you remember, I think it was in, what was it, the pale horse or one of them, that a fourth part of man was slain. So like, you know, the rapture is going to take out so many people, then a fourth of them are going to be taken at this fourth, the pale horseman, and now a third more. So we're down to like half of the earth's population, right?
Didn't something like that happen to Gideon with his soldiers? Like,
He reduced, God reduced just who could go to war. It's a little different because, I mean, these are being slain here. But yeah, gosh, if there's 8 billion here and if we say a billion of them go out at the rapture, maybe, a fourth of them, you know, down, then we're down to 6.5 billion, and then a third more, maybe we're down to 4 billion or so. So anyway, these are big numbers, aren't they? I mean, and that's not really counting maybe people that die of the pestilence and hunger and thirst and drought and storms and hail and all these things that have happened. But anyway, I wanted you to, I'm going to put this out there, and we'll prove it when we get a little closer. But I had you put this number in your blank. And the way I, this hour and a day and a month and a year, we're going to see that, you know, in our calendar year, there's about 365 days, and some of our months have 30, and some of them have 31, and one of them has 28 or 29. But prophetically, there's some, they base a year on 360 days, and they base a month on 30 days. And then a day is a day. So that's how I got 391 days. It's like 360 plus 30 plus 1. And I don't know how, but I think that number's somewhere else in the Bible. But anyway, whenever they're loosed at this specific time, they go and kill about a third of mankind. And then verse 16 talks about, this number that Carol read, this 200,000, the way you write that is 200 and then 1,000, it equals 200 million. So I think that, you know, our son-in-law's in the army. I think there's around, I don't know if it's 4 million in the army or You know, there's less than 10 million people in all of our four, you know, Army, Navy, Air Force, and Marines. I think there's less than 10 million altogether. But we think, I heard this quote this week. There was a general in 1964 of the Chinese Army that said they could now produce an army of 200 million. So China could have this many people in their army. That's a big number, isn't it? So some people think that's why the River Euphrates dries up, so that the armies of the East, because that we have on our handout, that Revelation 16 talks about the kings of the East, or the way of the kings of the East might be prepared. So we think this 200 million man army comes from China going toward Armageddon, right? So that's where this number is significant. And you know, some teachers will say, well, it's just prophetical number and nobody really knows, but that's pretty specific. And China actually said that they have that many in their army. So they're a way bigger army than the United States. So I put that. Who can read 17 and 18 for us? Revelation 9.
Thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire and jacinth and brimstone. And the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. By these three was the third part of men killed. By the fire and by the smoke and by the brimstone, which issued out of their mouths.
Yeah. That's it. Go ahead and read 19 also, Pat. Sorry.
Okay. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails were like unto the serpents and had heads, and with them they do hurt.
Yeah, and I didn't spend really much time, but you know, probably this describes modern warfare. Let's see if I can find this one picture for you. I thought it was... I can't remember what part of Revelation this was from, but this is the guy I got it from. This is Robert Breaker. But he says that this statue, if it comes up there, he says that this statue is in front of the United Nations building. And you can see it's the head of a lion. I think I've got another one of those. Hold on just a second. Yeah, this is the statue in front of the United Nations. And it's wild to me that they would put this here. It's definitely got a head of a lion, or is that a bear? The wings of an eagle, and it looks like there's even a tail there, like a serpent. So I don't know really why the United Nations would put that there, but
it has feet of iron, maybe. Looks like.
Anyway, that's pretty wild, isn't it? That they're playing right into some prophetical things. And but I think what Pat read there, 17 through 19, maybe deals with, you know, John's description of what we would call modern warfare. This fire and brimstone could be, you know, gun barrel blasts and causing people to die. And there's smoke and brimstone. And anyway, I'm not totally sure what all that means, but that's what John saw, and he wrote down what he saw. And then 20 and 21, if somebody can finish this chapter for us, Revelation 9, 20 and 21.
And the rest of the men which were not killed by the plague, yet repented not of the words of their hands, that they should not live the devil to the idol of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither to see nor hear nor walk, neither repented they of their murders, nor their sorcery, nor their fornication, nor their
theft. Yeah, thank you, Tom. And so, again, this we've seen this one other time when the hail came down. Still, people's hearts, they didn't repent. They didn't toward. And we can see that today. No matter what you or I might say to some person, they're not going to, you know, let their heart become tender or be repentant and turn toward God. And so I put on your handout just from Psalm 115, kind of the place that I list. I list places in my Bible where it talks about idolatry. And so it says that, you know, idols are the work of men's hands. They don't have eyes. They can't talk. They can't hear. They can't see. But people trust in them. And so, and then what Tom read, this word for sorceries, I'm going to talk about it more. It comes up again in the book of Revelation. But it's where we get our word pharmakia, which is where we get like pharmacy, like drugs. And so these that don't repent, you know, there's drug use, there's murders, there's fornications, there's theft. And so that ties in with the end times, even this thing of sorceries. And it's also translated the word witchcraft in Galatians.
It goes all the way back to when the Israelites were bitten by the snakes.
Yeah. And it killed them, but they weren't repentant either. So, despite the cataclysmic events, the heart of man will grow colder and harder, totally unrepentant, and even more intent on rebellion against God. And that's what Matthew 24 says. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And let me give you a thought about who are you thinking? Do you have your hand up?
Nope. Okay. Yet. I was going to make a comment, but I'll wait because you're not doing it.
Okay. Be turning to Daniel. Go ahead and comment, Atlanta, and I want to talk about who these four angels might be.
I wanted to go back to the statue.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be. It's a new statue.
Okay.
It was erected in 2021. And the production date is 11/9/2021. And it says that it's a jaguar and an eagle, donated by the government of Oaxaca, Mexico.
That's it's Oaxaca.
Okay.
We know.
It's a guardian for international peace and security.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm sure they had some good intent there.
The beasts are moving. Also down there, it says the beast in prophecy, it talks about peace and stuff too.
Yeah.
There's a Disney Pixar movie from Coco, and there's like another Greek head.
Say again?
So there's this movie Coco from Pixar.
Oh, Coco, yeah.
And there's this same exact, it's like protecting the tuba. Yeah,
like an animated movie.
It's protecting the kid or something like that.
Okay.
So it's coming from Mexico too.
Okay. Yeah.
So is this the animated movie?
Okay.
So it's like, what is it? I don't know what is the name.
It's called it Chuba, I think.
Interesting.
So is this one here?
From
That's the one on the movie.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So it's just about that.
It's very similar.
Yeah.
What are you thinking, TJ?
I was just wondering on that the day or the hour, the day, the month, the year.
instead of being cumulative, do you think that could be speaking of the fall of Babylon in an hour, like it's given an exact day, year?
Very possible. So, I mean,
for that 1 hour that they're coming in,
yeah,
take it all down.
And that word hour resonated with me too, because in John, you know, Christ kept telling people, "My hour's not come yet." So the Antichrist is going to have his hour too. And so I do think that there's maybe more than just cumulative, like you're saying. But let's end on this with in the book of Daniel, and I got 2 minutes. I think I've got it. Daniel 10. I'm sorry, I really thought I had it open. It's. Do you remember there's a story in Daniel 10 where Daniel prayed for 3.5, he fasted for 3 weeks. And, yeah.
3-4 weeks.
I don't know if you can see in Daniel 10:2 here, in those days, that we know that key phrase, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. And he says he ate no bread, and he didn't anoint himself for 3 whole weeks. And then on the 4-20th day, he sees this vision. So in verse 10 here, I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. And he goes down through here, and there's a war in heaven. If you look here, Daniel 10:13, the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me for 20 days. Below Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. So Daniel is visited by an angel with this vision, saying that I was doing war with this king of Persia, or this prince of Persia. And then I wanted to get down here to verse 20 and 21. This is where I wanted to finish today, if everybody can see that. He says, then said he, knowest thou therefore I come unto thee, and now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth, and there is none that withholdeth me in these things but Michael, your prince. So Michael, we think that's the archangel, is like the prince of Israel, and they're doing battle with this prince of Persia and this prince of Greece.
Spiritual battle?
Yeah, so this is going on. It is a spiritual battle. And this is the last picture I'll have for you today. You guys remember the image of Nebuchadnezzar?
Yeah.
And he is... Babylon is described as this head of gold. And Persia is like the breastplate of silver. They were called the Medes and the Persians. Like, you have two arms. It's the Medes and the Persians. And then Greece was like the torso of bronze. And Rome is like the legs of iron. And so what I wanted to speculate is, and I heard this, and so just take it for what it's worth, but could it be that those four angels are the angel of Babylon, the angel of Persia, the angel of Greece, and the angel of Rome, are all in chains in the Euphrates River around that area where Daniel's at in Babylon when he's saying all this? So that's kind of my speculation about who these four angels might be, and that's at least the biblical evidence that I have for it. So anyway, it's kind of neat to think about. And we'll talk more about the Euphrates whenever we get to chapter 16. So let's close up there. Alana, thank you for being here, sister.
Are you getting out?
Yeah, we actually have... We'll pass this around. We have a hard copy of this. Actually, let me just give it out next time we're together. Or do you want to get it? Okay.
Just in case.
Yeah, let's go ahead.
I'm probably not going to have surgery until December.
But you help pass those out.
If I have a choice in it.
Yeah. Okay.
Because I don't want to touch it. Because if I do it in December, I'm only going to miss 2 weeks of work versus 4 weeks.
Okay.
I'm trying to steer how that goes.
Well, I'm glad you came this morning.